Going to read 1 John, beginning in chapter 4. I invite you to follow along, either in your Bible or on the wall, wherever you happen to see the words, as I read 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, and I'll read through verse 21. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, as we continue in our study in the book and the letter of 1 John. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. Warren Wiersbe says it's very easy to fragment the Christian life and to become preoccupied with the individual pieces of the Christian life instead of getting the whole picture. You know, there's a lot of truth to that, because people everywhere you go, it seems, in the Christian world are placing various degrees of importance and emphasis on different aspects of the Christian life. Some emphasize witnessing, some emphasize holiness, etc. People have their own pet peeve about what they emphasize in the Christian life. And I think many times people do that and they miss the big picture. It becomes distorted. They can't see the forest for the trees. But I'm here to say that I believe, and there are some people who agree with me, who are a lot smarter than I am, I believe love is the total picture. Love is the big picture. I'm going to tell you why. But I believe love is the big picture. Love is the total picture. God loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. And we can know Him in a personal way. We can experience a love relationship with this God who so much loves us. And we can experience a relationship that is ongoing, an ongoing love relationship daily with this God who is love. And this love relationship should grow stronger and increase daily. As John says, it is to be perfected in us. That's what he talks about here. The love of God is being perfected. This love of God is to be perfected in us. It's to be growing, increasing, not stagnant. It's to be increasing. And I dare say that is the picture, I believe, of a marriage relationship, that love should be growing. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But how do we determine if this love relationship we have with God is increasing? How do we determine if this is really the case in our own individual life? Well, once again, John likes proof of things. Proof that we're born again. Proof that we have eternal life. Proof that we are children of God. And here we discover in verses 12 through 21 of 1 John chapter 4 how we can know we are being perfected in God's love. How do we know that we are being perfected in God's love? Verses 12 through 16, first of all, we know we are being perfected in God's love when we abide in Him. When we abide in Him. In verses 13 through 15, we see that the Spirit of God assures our hearts. The Spirit assures our hearts. By this we know, verse 13, that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. It is the Spirit who assures our hearts. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in all people who confess. And he's talking here about a single decisive act. At a point in time, they confess, a public acknowledgement of Christ, trusting in Christ as the Savior who died for their sin. That's what he's talking about here. He is the one who died, and there's an acknowledgement and a trust in Him as the Savior who was sent by God to be what? The Savior of the world and my Savior. By this we know, he says, because He has given us His Spirit. And Romans 8:16 says that He, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children, our sons of God. There is that quiet assurance that the Holy Spirit gives us when we abide in God. His Spirit assures our spirit that we indeed are children of God. Evidence that God abides in us and we abide in Him. That's what he's talking about here. As we abide, as we know that we are abiding in God, living in God, and God is living in us, we have a vital, personal, intimate relationship with this God. The love of God will be perfected in us. And He, that is, verse 12 and 16 tells us, He, the Spirit, enables us to love. Not only does He assure our hearts that we are the children of God, that He resides in us as the Spirit of God, but also He, the Spirit, enables us to love. No one, verse 12 says, has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Verse 16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. There's a lot about abiding here, folks. Verse 12 tells us love is the evidence that He, that is He, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And as He lives in us, His love is going to be perfected in and through us. His love in us grows and matures. Verse 16 tells us, He who dwells in love dwells in God, who is love. If you're dwelling in love, that means you're dwelling in God. If you're dwelling in God, who is love, that means you're going to dwell in love. Okay, illustration. Anybody notice any difference between, by the way, these came off of the same bush? And I use that word bush. No, most of it was this way. What's the difference? One's dead and one's alive. One has no love. One has love. You know why? Some reason this one wasn't appropriately attached to the vine. One was not connected properly and drawing nourishment from the vine. Such is the case with you and me. If we are not abiding, living in conscious dependence upon, trusting in and depending upon Him who abides in us, we abide in Him. And as we abide in Him, He produces fruit. And in this case, love. The fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love. What does that mean? That means it's fruit that the Holy Spirit produces, not Neil Brown. If the branch abides in and lives in conscious dependence upon the vine and yields to the vine, and in this case, who is love, then love in increasing proportions will result. How do you know you're being perfected in the love of God? Because you know you're abiding in the vine, who is love. When you're abiding in the one who is love, love will result in your life. But also, a way we know that we're being perfected in God's love is not only when we abide in Him, but when we live in confidence. When we live in confidence. Verse 17 and 18. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. We live in confidence. First of all, verse 17, concerning the future. We live in confidence concerning the future. We can be confident concerning the future. We can be confident and not ashamed. Back in chapter 2, verse 28, John says that we can be confident and not ashamed when He comes back. And that is when we're living the life that He calls us to live, is what He's talking about. Here, we can live with confidence concerning the future. The coming day of judgment will not, He's saying, if we have confidence, if we're abiding in Him and being perfected in love, we will have confidence. And we will not live in terror. We will not live filled with terror at His coming and at any judgment. Our confidence, like our obedience, back in chapter 2, verse 25, He's saying, is a sign. Our confidence is a sign that our love is being made complete. That love is being perfected. That love is increasing. That love is maturing. How? Because we know we live with confidence in the one who is love. We know because positionally we know that we are as He is in this world. We know that we are His children. We have the utmost of confidence that we're His children. And we really have been judged. Praise God, through the blood of Jesus. Now, get to the works later. We're not going to entertain that right now. But for salvation, we've been judged. We trust in Christ. And it's done. We don't have to live in fear. Why? Because we know our love is being perfected. We have a confidence in our relationship with this God who is love. We know that we are accepted in the Beloved. Jesus knew that He was the Son in whom God was well pleased. And through Him we are accepted into the Beloved. And as we grow in love, we live with a reverence, a respect for God. Don't get fooled by this word fear. That's not the reverence he's talking about. That's the terror. That's, you're horrified. And there are people that live that way, scared to death. That's not the way we live. We live with confidence. As we live with reverence and respect, we have confidence toward our Heavenly Father who is love. We have confidence toward Him. We are not living as a prisoner who cringes before the judge. We're living with confidence before a Heavenly Father in whom we have trusted in His provision of His Son who gave His life for us. Therefore, we have all the confidence of the future. That's why we don't live in fear. We don't live in terror of the return of Christ. We live our lives uprightly and pleasing to Him as the Spirit of God guides us, and we welcome His return. I know I do. I don't mean I'm living a perfect life by any stretch of the imagination. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For you and me to die is gain. Why would we not be excited about it? We talked earlier, I made the comment that I get more joy out of doing funerals than I do weddings. And when I say that, I really mean I'm more comfortable doing funerals than weddings. And there were two couples sitting in there, at least one was without a spouse at the time, but they looked at me, and I know they were thinking, I got married in the last 2 months, and I did the weddings, and I did their counseling. And I had to apologize to them. I enjoyed it. It was a grand celebration. But when I do a funeral of a believer, and many of whom I've done have suffered, their bodies have withered, and they had long since been functional. Praise God, they're whole again. They can put on the new body given by God. That's something to celebrate. Weddings are too. Not only do we have confidence for the future, as the love of God is being perfected, we can know it's being perfected because we have confidence for the future, but also confidence in the present. Do you know that there are people, verse 18 talks about that, but there are people. He says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. There are people who live their daily lives paralyzed by fear. And I know some people that I've been pretty close to over the years that are living their lives in fear. And I mean paralyzed by fear, by terror, by worry, whatever. But certainly not with confidence. And I would say the love of God is not being perfected in the life. As we are being perfected in His love, we do not fear. There is no room for fear in love. Did you know the two are contradictory to one another? Fear and love? They are just as incompatible as oil and water. They don't mix. Perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean? Perfect love flings it out. Throws it right out the door, really. Casts it out. Gets rid of it. And do you know all that unhealthy terror and fear can be cast out by the love of God as that love is being perfected, matured, increasing in your heart and in my heart? And we can stand confidently before God now. Hebrews 4:16 says we can come confidently, boldly to the throne of grace. Because there's a whole lot of grace there. God's unmerited favor, because of His great love, is poured out upon us. And He extends that to us so that we can live confidently today. I can come into His God, into His presence with reverence, but with confidence. Fear has to do with punishment. Therefore, we don't need to fear punishment. We can rest in His love, and we can live our lives with confidence as the love of God is growing and increasing in our hearts. We can have a growing confidence in the presence of God, and this will be evidence that our love for God is maturing. Do you have that increasing confidence? Do you have that maturing love as evidence in your life? Thirdly, we can respond to His love. When we respond to His love, that means we know that the love of God is increasing in our lives. When we respond to His love, verses 19 through 21, we love, He says, because He loved us. Verse 19, we love because God first loved us. His love makes it possible, folks. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts that makes possible our love. He's the source of love. All true love is a response on my part and your part to His initiative. God took the initiative. He's the one that loved first. And all true love is a response to His initiative. Love does not reside in our fallen sin nature, folks, but it is due to His love for us. He is love. He's the source of love. John's trying to say the love comes from Him. And our loving and growing in love is simply a response to His great love. This love, John says, this is love. Chapter 4, verse 10, just a few verses earlier. And this is love. Not that we love God. It's not about us loving God, he says. But that He, God, loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied the payment as our substitute, demonstrating His great love for us. Therefore, our love is simply a response to His love. And it can be summed up in one commandment. Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. What does that mean? Love God with every fiber of your being. First and foremost. Then, love your neighbor as yourself. That's second. But that only comes as we respond to God's great love and love Him in return. And I think of the story about the little girl who was talking to her mom, and she says, Mom, I don't understand it. She said, I love and I love and I love as I hug and I hug my baby dolls, and they don't love me back. He's been hugging you a lot with His arms of love. Are you loving Him back? With your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole being? Do you know that loving God and loving your neighbor are two sides of the same coin? They come together, folks. He said, you can't say, I love my neighbor and not love God. You can't say that I love God and hate your neighbor. No, you can't do that. You're a liar. You are a liar. Anyone, he says, anyone who claims to love God but not his brother is a liar. There is the proof that he doesn't love, there's proof that he doesn't love God. His love for God, John says, will result in unselfish action of love toward others. 1 John 3:18, love in deed and in truth, sincerely, with action, practically, meeting the needs of others out of love. You cannot love a fellow creature, C.S. Lewis says, you cannot love a fellow creature fully until you love God fully. Is there evidence for a maturing love in your life? Is there evidence that the love of God is being perfected and maturing in your relationship with God? Is there evidence that your love for God is increasing? And I have to say this, I alluded to it earlier, and I thought about marriage relationship. And I've been married 32 and a half years. We'll stop right there. Give or take a few days. And I'll tell you, I thought I was in love with that wonderful woman that God gave me 32 and a half years ago. And I'll just tell you, the love that we have for one another is so much greater. And I'm telling you that not in a bragging way, just simply the fact that God has worked within our hearts to give us a greater love. That's what it's supposed to be, folks. We didn't know that. You know, this thing called marriage, we get married and fall in love with one another. We're not to fall out of love with one another. We're to grow increasingly in our love for one another. And I'll just quickly tell you, if your marriage relationship is not growing in love, something's wrong. And I can tell you some of the reasons why. First of all, one or both of you are not growing in your love for God. And it takes two to tango. And it takes two to love. It takes two in a marriage. But our love for God is to be increasing and growing. And then I ask you this question, is your love for others growing and increasing and maturing? Do you find yourself loving more and demonstrating through your life acts of love toward others in your neighborhood, through your church family, at work? And I would say, primarily, we talked about this a little bit in ABS, first of all, for the household of God, but also for others. Jesus says, even your enemies. So nobody's exempt from me loving them. I have no excuse. I don't think God's given me an excuse for not loving anyone. And He's given me all the reasons to love everyone. The secret is loving Him and yielding to His love as we live in dependence upon Him and abide in Him. His love will flow through us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It can look this way, or it can look this way. Or it can look in between. This is pretty healthy. I go for this. That's what God desires in your life. That's what God desires in my life. Do you love Him more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow? I'll spare you the singing. Yeah, it's coming back to you all of a sudden. Oh, yeah, I remember that song. I remember the name. It just came to me a few days ago, and I jotted it down, and I thought, yeah, you'll probably refer to that song. Do you love Him more today than you did yesterday? If not, the love of God is not increasing in your life. As the love of God is increasing, your love for God will grow. Your love for others will increase. There was a story of the little boy who said that he loved his mother with all his strength. And someone asked him, well, how can you prove that? He said, well, we reside on the fourth floor, and the coal is in the basement, and we have no elevator. And my mother's busy, and she's got a lot to do to care for us. And so I go down into the basement, and I load the coal, and I climb those four flights of stairs, as hard as it may be, because I'm loving my mother with all my strength. Are you loving God with all your strength? If so, I trust that love will increase and that you will know that you have a love relationship with God. having put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners and even enemies of God, by his grace and his love, he made the way for us to have a relationship with him because of that great love. If you have any doubts that you've experienced that love relationship through trusting in Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to enter into that love relationship. By trusting in Jesus and saying, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I trust in you as my Savior today. Thank you for loving me. And I receive you today. And I want to love you back. And I trust that you will be committed to loving him with your whole heart. Because I'm reasonably confident at least most of you, if not all of you sitting here in the sound of my voice, have that rough relationship with God. But he really wants it to increase. And as it increases, the whole world will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, because of your love for one another, which comes from loving God with our whole heart. May that love increase to the glory of God as we continue to worship.